Good evening to everybody. This evening's shiur is dedicated to the topic of electricity on Shabbos. The question about using and the use of electricity on Shabbos could be possibly one of the most hotly debated issues, no pun intended, at the turn of the century, questioning and trying to understand how the modern application of electricity relates to ancient halacha, was something that many of the greatest poskim and great minds in halacha dealt with, from the Chazmish to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to Beis Yitzchak, amongst others. All were very, very involved and spent considerable time and much ink was spilled trying to understand, appreciate both the mechanics, the technology, the practical aspects of electricity, and at the same time trying to use that practical knowledge of the basics of physics and electricity in order to understand and how to paskin halacha. The earliest creation of electricity clearly was the incandescent bulb, and when it comes to the incandescent bulb, which is a filament which ultimately heats up and gets warm and creates heat and fire, that the majority and the consensus really of all halachic authorities is that it's prohibited to do midiraisa on a biblical level for the reason of mavir. Mavir is one of the melachos, one of the lamatas melachos. Mavir is and refers to kindling a fire, and an incandescent bulb, the way it works, based upon the basic understanding of the incandescent bulb, is that it should fall under the category of mavir, and indeed, that was the consensus of halachic authorities based upon this red-hot filament. The more difficult question and complicated question, debated question, is other forms of electricity, most notably fluorescent light, and today more and more common the use of LED light. All halachic authorities prohibit the use of a non-incandescent bulb, a fluorescent LED, etc. The only question is, why indeed is it usur? Under what malacha, under what category does the use of electricity fall under when it's not the use of an incandescent bulb? And as I mentioned at the outset, that is subject to a tremendous debate amongst halachic authorities. You may be familiar, one of the most well-known opinions on this is the opinion of Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish understood that electricity is prohibited as a result of the malacha bona. Bona means a building, creating. And the Chazon Ish understood that when one creates electricity or when a circuit is built, and when it is completed, that is similar to bona, to building, and that is the prohibition and the reason why the Chazon Ish understood that electricity is usur. Other poskim, including the Tzeliezer, Rabbi Waldenberg, and Chatzitzak, Stein White, understood that it's usur because of Makir B'Patish. Makir B'Patish, again, is one of the Lamitas Malachos, and whenever you finish something, or the finishing off of a particular process is a Malacha. And so too, when I turn on a fluorescent bulb or a LED bulb, at that moment I have completed a process, not bona, but it's makid b'patish. The earliest comment regarding electricity was a comment made by the Beis Yitzchak, that's a Beis Shmelkis, and he understands and he says that it's also because of a different iser, not midiraisa, but rather midirabanan, and that's molid. Chazal prohibited against creating any new entity on Shabbos. For example, we discussed transforming a solid into a liquid and the like, and that is known as molid, and the reason for this prohibition when it comes to electricity is because of nolad, molid. I've created something, I built something, I have created something new, and that is considered to be nolad or molid. So certainly, as mentioned, halachic authorities did indeed prohibit the use of electricity on Shabbos. Bonem, makib patish, molid, some suggest dishul, it's a form, you're creating something, you heated a wire. Chazanish mentions that possibility as well, as that the current that passes through a wire raises the temperature of the wire, and as long as it reaches above Yatzoletis, which is about 110 Fahrenheit, so that would be prohibited. So certainly it is prohibited. Now, the issue of practical applications to electricity is not limited merely to turning on lights and bulbs and the like, but it covers the gamut of issues that we deal with in our modern home, And I'd like to go through a number of practical applications where the issue of electricity on Shabbos comes up. Some are more well-known, some are less well-known. Some you will be familiar with, and others will be newer. But I think it is important just for the background to understand what we are dealing with. We are all accustomed to using our fridge on Shabbos, and we are lucky enough to have fridges to keep our food cold, freezers to keep our food frozen. However, one should be aware that when a refrigerator is open, so the warm air goes into the cavity, to the cabin of the fridge, and that causes a rise in the temperature on the inside of the fridge. Since the motor is hooked up to the thermostat, the rise in temperature ultimately will cause the motor to start running. So when I open up a fridge and the motor begins to work harder and to rev up in order to cool down the cabin of the fridge, so indeed the causation of the motor to be running is also an electrical issue. The electricity is turning on as a result of me. And the question is, am I permitted to open up the door of a fridge on Shabbos? We take it for granted that most certainly are. However, the advent of the fridge and the popularity of the fridge was something that many, many halachic authorities discussed. Most notably, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in his response to Minchas Shlomo, has a very, very lengthy tshuva discussing the mechanics of the fridge. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it. Rav Yosef Henkin spoke about this. All the great halachic authorities of the past generation dealt with it. And there are different opinions about it. You should be aware that many are of the opinion that indeed you cannot open up a fridge on Shabbos for this very reason. Now, many poskim took that position because they understood that indeed, once the hot air goes into the fridge and I open up the fridge, so I am causing the motor to start running. Therefore, many poskim indeed only permitted one to open up the door of the fridge when the motor is actually running. Because when the motor is running, I didn't turn the motor on, and you could hear the motor when it's running, and the thermostat is not being forced to raise its temperature or to allow colder air to go into the cabinet to work in the fridge. So when I'm using the fridge in that circumstance, in that time period, then there's no problem. Moshe Feinstein actually, in a very short shuva, seems to indicate that one is actually only permitted to open the fridge when the motor is running. That's the opinion of Moshe. Others have heard that Moshe reportedly paskin that one can open the fridge even when it's not running, but indeed what Moshe Feinstein is shuva does write that one is only permitted to open the fridge when it's running. The commonly accepted fact on this issue, certainly the diaspora, seems to me, is the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Minchas Shlomo, and Shlomo Zalman paskins that one is permitted to open up the fridge at any point, when the motor is running, when the motor is not running. In either circumstance, that was the position of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he explains that the basis for that is that I'm not directly causing the fridge and the motor to run. Who knows when I'm opening it up, if it's directly happening as a result of my action. Could be it's happening seconds later, minutes later, or maybe even at that point it's not going to necessarily happen. And therefore, as a result, we'll call that a grumma. Grumma is a cause, and it's not directly happening, and therefore an indirect consequence as a result will be permitted. Furthermore, it's not clear that I'm the one that's doing it. That's what we call in Shabbos a davar shein miskaven. A davar shein miskaven is an unintended consequence that takes place, that comes about, and therefore it's also permitted. Although one can and very, very easily refer to this as a psik ratio, which means that it's inevitable that ultimately by opening up the door and keeping it open that the motor will run. But at the end of the day, in our case, the consequence is not at all inevitable because maybe that won't happen. So on this basis, that many, many authorities permitted it to open the refrigerator door on Shabbos, whether or not the motor is running or whether or not the motor is not running. As I mentioned, that's the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that's the opinion of Rav Henkin and the Sefer Eidos Yisrael, and many earlier halachic authorities passing like this as well, the famous Dayan of Brit, Rav Simcha Zalig Uyghur, in a contrast that was put out in still in Europe, also felt that way. And as I mentioned earlier, Moshe Feinstein reportedly orally mentioned that this was his opinion as well, that whether or not the motor is running or not, it is permitted to open up the fridge, albeit that in his tshuva he does not say so. So that indeed is a commonly accepted practice when it comes to a fridge. Just to mention, a question that often does come up is the person forgets to turn off the light in the fridge. Then we're stuck. We're in trouble because opening up the fridge will cause the light to go on, and that's automatic, and that's a guarantee. What does one do under that circumstance when he or she forgets to turn off the light in the fridge? If there's food in there that's necessary, and it's a Tzorech Shabbos, important food, important drink that is in the fridge that was forgotten, and as a result, if you're unable to open up the fridge the whole Shabbos, it's going to take away from the joy of Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos. So many halachic authorities posit that in that situation, it's permitted to ask a non-Jew to do it. You don't even have to hint, but you could tell the non-Jew directly, and the basis of that permissibility is the concept called shvus de shvus de makom mitzvah. We can assume that turning on or opening up the fridge is only rabbinically prohibited. Telling a non-Jew to do something, Amir Lakum and Shabbos, is only prohibited rabbinically. So when you have two Yisrei Drabanan, we permit you to tell a non-Jew to do so, if indeed it is for the sake of Shabbos and Shabbos food, and that would be permitted. Following up on the fridge, the next practical area where electricity comes up is indeed in the kitchen circumstances, an oven. Opening and shutting and closing an oven on Shabbos also runs into the same situation when it comes to an oven. As opposed to opening a fridge and allowing hot air to go into the fridge, and therefore the thermostat will have to work harder and will have to pump in more cold air, so the opposite is true when it comes to an oven. When I open up the oven door, cold air will come in, and the oven is going to have to force its thermostat to work harder to heat up the oven and to allow its contents to get warmer and to stay warm. So one can argue that a fridge and oven have the same status, and the same postgame who would be of the position that is permitted to open either when the oven or the motor is on or off would seemingly say the same thing is true when it comes to an oven. However, there might be more reason to assume that an oven is more problematic, and that's because it might be asur midyoraita, and that's because of lach of mavir, of kindling a fire, and that's exactly what's happening when it comes to an oven. So the majority of halachic authorities are more hesitant when it comes to opening and closing an oven on Shabbos because we are dealing with an isur midyoraita. Moshe Feinstein, actually, in a tshuva, in Chelik Dalet Siman Dalet, it does not say so, and it's kind of surprising, actually. Moshe writes, "Kfi Anira, ein bezeh pshat reisha, hu davar shein miskapi le'aser." Moshe Feinstein's opinion is that when it comes to opening a oven door, it's considered to be a davar shein miskapi, and I don't have intent to do it. It's not prohibited, and it's hard to understand, indeed, why Moshe would be more lenient when it comes to an oven as opposed to when it comes to a fridge, but indeed, that is the position and the opinion of Moshe Feinstein. We talk about electronics and using electricity. Not only does it apply inside of the kitchen, but it applies in other areas of the house and even outside of the house. A common question that is often asked of me, especially in our area, walking home from shul on Friday night, and as you're walking on a variety of streets in our area, so a light will go on based upon the space or the place or the street or the area where you're walking. Can I walk on that street? Is it permitted to me to go on the street? Should I cross the street? Should I take another route? Is it permitted? And what am I doing when I'm walking along the street and a light goes on as a result? In the Sefer Orcho Shabbos, which is a contemporary Sefer in Hilcho Shabbos, written by Rabbi Gelber and Rabbi Rubin, in the third volume of the Orcho Shabbos, in the 26th chapter, Perek Esen Vishesh, number Lamed Aleph, Os Lamed Aleph, the author's quote from the great halachic authorities, including Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Yashiv, Rabbi Shmuel Vosner, and Nissen Karelis, that it's permitted to walk even though a light will go on. And the basis for that is, indeed, if it's a necessity, and that's the way to go. Look, of course, if there's another way and it's just as easy, so that would be the ideal thing to do. But in this situation, the folks can say that since there's no benefit to me necessarily, it'd be just as easy for me to walk that way with the light, without the light, not considered to be a malachat machshavas. Malachat machshavas means a premeditated act. I'm interested in the light. I need the light. I want the light. In that situation, since I'm not interested in light, I don't necessarily need the light. I'm not directly doing it. I didn't ask for it, but it happens to be going on. Therefore, it would be permitted. It would be no different, the post can say, that if there's a satellite in the air that's taking pictures of me, would it be prohibited for me to take a walk to shul? Would it be prohibited for me to walk and take a walk on Shabbos? Certainly not. It's not directly related to me. I didn't ask for it. I'm not interested in it. And certainly it would not be prohibited. So this is a very, very fundamental and basic rule when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, Melechet Machsheves Asra Torah, that only an act that is interesting and I need and I desire and I want, that's what's going to be Asra. Of course, one has to know when and how to apply that concept. But in this situation, again, as mentioned, the post can seem to say that this would be permitted in the circumstance, in the situation, when indeed I am walking in that way. Now, if I want the light, I desire the light, and the light is helpful, so all bets are off, and certainly there would be more reason and one should be more cautious in that particular circumstance. If I know every week when I'm walking in that direction that that's something that happens and it benefits me, so maybe it would be appropriate to take a different route, but if you can walk a little farther away from the light, certainly that's beneficial. But if there's any complication and it's not easy to do so, again, if it's not of a benefit to you, then it would be permitted to continue walking in that fashion. Another question that comes up often is when you walk into particular buildings, often we're visiting somebody in the hospital or a person has to go to the hospital. So the only way to get into the building is through an electronic door, and there's no other way to get in. And by walking through the door, the electricity goes on. It allows me to go into the building or into the hospital that I need to get into. In that situation, again, we're talking about the same problem as the fridge or the oven or the light. I'm causing an action to take place. How do I handle that situation? So there, again, the posting seems to indicate that the best thing to do is wait for somebody else to go into the building, ideally a non-Jew, and follow that individual into the room or into the building or into the hospital. In that circumstance, I am not directly causing the automatic door to go on. This is permitted. Furthermore, if you have to visit a sick person, visiting the sick is vital, is important, it's a mitzvah, and turning on the electricity in this circumstance can be obviated by certainly following somebody else, a non-Jew, into the building. But even if not, it could be that one can walk into the building if there is no non-Jew to follow in an unusual manner to do it b'shinui, and that would also be permitted because that's not going to be necessarily right. That most of the nisus are rabbanan, and when I'm doing it b'derech shinui in order to visit somebody sick, that would be permitted as well. We move from our house to the hospital and now to a hotel. Commonly today, we're not really using keys as much to get into rooms, but rather we're using cards. Electronic cards, and that again poses issues and questions as to how to get in and out of hotel rooms. That is an issue, again, but it may be more of a problem because indeed I am the one that's doing it. Now, when I open the oven or the fridge or the door into a building, so I'm not necessarily doing it. It could be somebody else is causing it. I'm walking, so the light goes on. Here, I'm holding a card and I'm opening it with my own hands, and that seems to be a more direct action. Indeed, that is problematic. The best thing to do, if possible, is certainly to leave the door ajar or to put something there where it doesn't look like the door is open so that way I don't have to use the card to get in. It's not always so easy. We don't want to leave our door open or even ajar a bit or even closed and have something there whereby somebody else can get in. There could be, there's a heter similar to the concept that we mentioned earlier when it comes to a bulb that was left on in the fridge and you need to get into your fridge in order to get vital food for Shabbat. Same thing might be true here as well. If there's no other option, one may be permitted to ask a non-Jew to do that based upon the concept of shvus, the shvus, the makom mitzvah, or the makom tzorach gadol. We assume that rabbinically prohibition is only electricity is only prohibited rabbinically, and telling a non-Jew is only an issur d'rabbanan, b'makom tzorach, b'makom tircha, it might be permitted to do so as well. The same thing is true in our security-conscious world when we're dealing with motion sensors, burglar alarms, surveillance cameras, and the like. One should recognize that these are things that one has to be familiar with on Shabbos. Certainly, ideally, surveillance cameras, burglar alarms, and motion sensors and security systems, if it's possible to turn them off for Shabbos, should be turned off. The problem is that if we're all turning them off on Shabbos, then word's going to get out that the Jews aren't using their security systems on Shabbos, their motion sensors, and the burglar alarms are off, and it's going to be much easier to certainly cause trouble. Chas v'shalom l'aleinu, that's not something that should happen. So indeed, if it can be disabled, that would be best. If not, one should try to figure out and to work with a system that is viable for Shabbos. And the truth is, when it comes to a variety of the items that we mentioned, fridges, ovens, lights, and surveillance cameras, and all of these items, there are many Shabbos modes, as they're referred to today, many systems that can be bypassed in order to create electricity that would be permitted to use in Shabbos, allowing the digital display not to work, allowing the system to work through a grama, where it's not happening directly. And certainly when it comes to safety, when it comes to cameras, burglar alarms, when it comes to using an oven and a fridge in a variety of circumstances, again, oven and fridge is different vis-a-vis the halachas of Bishul and the Suri Drabanan of Shia, Chazara, and the like. One should be aware that these are possibilities, and when one is investigating and researching and contemplating purchasing different types of electronic appliances, cameras, alarms, sensors, and LED, which is becoming more and more popular today, one should be aware that there are questions, there are issues, but again, there are ways to handle and deal with a variety of these contemporary situations, and a question should be asked. This covers in very, very short the basic skeleton of electricity contemporarily, and look forward to continuing our discussion. Have a good night.